As you are, please turn up Romans chapter 15. Page 11, ? So let me tell you the answer to that question mark. Page 1142, if you've got a pew Bible, these red ones, verse 14 to 33. And page 1142, if you're tapping on your screen or something, Romans chapter 15. And we'll begin at verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So, from Jerusalem, all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and that you will assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy, by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Lovely to see you all here this morning. Let me lead us in a prayer. Father, what we have just sang, we pray, will be our prayer this morning. We surrender all. We surrender all to thee, our Lord and Saviour. We, as Christ Church, surrender all. Amen. Here's a quote from a sermon. It was preached 22 years ago by an American preacher called John Piper. 3 weeks ago, we got word at our church that Ruby and Laura, who had both been killed in Cameroon. Ruby was 80, single all her life. She poured it out for one great thing: to make Jesus Christ known to the unreached, to the poor, to the sick. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor, pushing 80 herself and serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. The brakes give way. Over the cliff they go and they're gone, killed instantly. And I asked my people, was that a tragedy? No. I tell you what a tragedy is. I'll read to you from Reader's Digest what a tragedy is. Bob and Penny, they took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago. He's 59, she's 51. And they live in Punta, Georgia, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot boat, play softball, and collect shells. That's a tragedy. And the people today are spending billions of dollars or pounds to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American, or we could say British dream, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting seashells at the last chapter of your life before you meet the creator of the universe and you give an account and you say, here, Lord, here's my shell collection. I've got a nice golf swing. And look at my boat. The end of the quote. I know the quote is quite polarized. Seashells on one end, Cameroon on the other. But it's a striking quote, right? And it's all about priorities. Priorities. And so we've got to ask ourselves this morning, what are our priorities for our life? Big question. How about we start with our summer? And there's a spectrum. You've got seashells on one end, and you've got Cameroon on the other. So you've got that spectrum in your mind. Where would you put yourself? Where would you put your priorities between seashells and Cameroon? Because today, I think the passage moves us and has moved me to want us to just take one or maybe two steps away from the seashells and towards something else. You see, our passage, as we've mentioned, is the beginning of sort of Paul's conclusion to the whole of this wonderful letter we've been looking at. But it's not a conclusion, just signing off his name. It's got some punchy things to teach us today and next week. And here Paul outlines his priorities, and he's very passionate about those priorities. And as although Paul is unique in who he is and what he does, he is also a great model for us this morning. And these priorities of his and, God willing, of ours, spring out from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, in view of God's mercy. See, Paul, we have received God's mercy in the person of Jesus Christ. Through him, we've seen this year, we are declared righteous in God's sight. We've seen that therefore we are united with Christ, and we have God's Holy Spirit living in us as well. And those truths, as well as so many others in Romans, it changes everything about our lives, about our priorities. It did for Paul, and we pray that it does for us as well. So let's have a look then at Paul's passionate priorities. We're going to see two from this passage today. And the first one is about reaching the outsider and unreached. Reaching the outsider and unreached. As I said, Paul was unique. He was given this unique task by Jesus himself on the road to Damascus to minister to the Gentiles. And he describes this priority of his at reaching the Gentiles, proclaiming Christ to the Gentiles, using a picture, the picture of the temple, the Old Testament temple. We get it in verse 15. Because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So can you picture the scene? Paul's painted this picture for us. You've got the priest there at the temple. And he's receiving and offering the people's dead animal sacrifices. And he's taking them, and he's taking them to God. And at the same time, he's also mediating God's presence and his word to the people. And the people, God's people, that's just Israel, recognize that the Gentiles, those who are not Israel, are far away, aren't allowed into that temple. But Paul says, things are so much better now. He uses that picture as a sort of metaphor for his ministry. And he says, there's no need for a priest anymore. He's got a priestly duty, but not like the Old Testament. He's not offering dead sacrifices anymore. He knows of Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice, and so he says, we are all now living sacrifices. And it's not just Israel anymore who's involved. Paul is bringing the Gentiles, those on the outside, as an offering to God, bringing those on the outsiders in, bringing the unclean to be cleansed. The far off are brought near. That is his ministry. Paul's priority is all about going to the outsider, preaching Christ, to bring them in, ultimately to bring them to God. Now, I recently heard about a church building project. It's modern building, so it was after the concrete was laid, but before the concrete was set. And each church member went up to that semi-wet concrete with a stick, and they wrote in the concrete the name of one person, the name of one outsider, someone who wasn't a believer, a Gentile, someone that they wanted God to bring in to his family and his church. The building committee people will be a sigh of relief. We're not doing a building project like that anytime soon, and we won't be getting our sticks out to write that person. But think about that question. Who would you write in the concrete? What outsider, someone that seems so far away, do you want God to bring in to his people? Who would you like to sit on your right or your left on the pew next week? Which person would you love to bring in? Which person could you pray for? Maybe that's the step. Who could you pray for? An outsider to be brought in. And we've got Paul's sort of passionate priority of the outsider, but that priority to the Gentiles, it also sort of propels Paul on forward to reach the unreached. Let's pick up at the second half of verse 19. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. You won't hear this very often. If you keep your finger in that page of Romans, if you've got your Bible open, I'd love you to keep your finger there, but to shut the Bible. I told you you won't hear this very often. Shut the Bible, and then if you could open the back cover of the Bible, and there on the back cover is a map. And it's a map of Paul's journey that he did in his life. There's one of the temple on one side, it's not that, but of Paul's missionary journeys on the very back cover. And if you have a look, the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see Jerusalem, should be in bold, right, bottom right corner. If you've got another finger, put a finger there. And then cast your eye to nearly the very top left of the map. Not all the way over to Italy, but just in a little bit. And you get this region called Illyricum, right at the top there, nearly top left. And just have a look at where your finger is in Jerusalem and where Illyricum is. Think about that distance. Think about all those countries between the two, all those cities, civilizations, and people. And now it took Paul about 10 years to go in different guises and on different trips from Jerusalem to Illyricum. 10 years working to reach the unreached there, to preach Christ in all those places. As you look at that map, isn't it absolutely staggering, the distances and the places? You see, Paul's strategy, it wasn't to go to every person on that map, But it was to go to those influential cities, the populous ones, the strategic cities, the capitals, if you like, in each area, and to proclaim Christ there, and to plant and to establish a church there. And then, once established, it would take quite a while, he would move on, and he would leave those who are left there, the believers there, to go and radiate the gospel out to the villages and the hamlets and the smaller towns. You can flip back to Romans chapter 15 now. That's our time in the map. My geography teacher moment finished. As we go back to Romans, we've got to ask the question, why did Paul dedicate 10 years of blood, and there was a lot of that sweat, a lot of that, and tears, lots of that, to this ministry? Why would he bother? Verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Always been my ambition. Paul is passionate. He's got this sort of desire and a burning within him to go, to reach the unreached, to preach to the unreached. His heart absolutely breaks at the idea of those who have never had the opportunity to hear of Christ. He goes where Christ is not known. He goes to cities where there's no gospel presence, no gospel preaching church, no worship of Christ. His priority drives him on all the way to Spain. He wants to reach the unreached there. That's why he speaks of it a lot to this church in Rome. And we heard from Victor earlier, and he mentioned briefly Moses in Hyderabad in India. Isn't it great just to think, if you know about him and what he's doing, that it's exactly what he's got Paul's priority, right? This is a man who is there in Hyderabad in India, training up pastors to go and reach the unreached, to go to the next town or village or tribe or dialect with the gospel and preach Christ, plant a church there, bring in believers, and then go to the next. Moses and the ministry there in Hyderabad has got Paul's priority. But to be honest with you guys, I found looking at these verses and Paul or Moses' priority a pretty uncomfortable thing. So honestly asking myself and asking you guys too, would I actually go to somewhere where Christ was not known? Do I have that desire to go with the gospel? And do you? If you're anything like me, why not join with me in that step or two that I was mentioning earlier? Why not that step be a willingness to even think about going? But be encouraged as well. As a church, we're doing something about it. Wonderful to hear from Victor. Wonderful to know that we give, as a church, roughly around £20,000 to mission. Part of that going to help people reach the unreached. And it's so encouraging to hear from Victor, and as he does more and more and helps us more and more in this area. But 3.4 billion. 3.4 billion, not million, billion. That is the number of unreached people in the globe today. Just to sort of get things in perspective, that's 42% of the global population never heard the gospel. The gospel says go to the outsider and to the unreached. They're pretty staggering statistics. But what's it going to look like for me and for you? Well, I think for some of us, it will mean to think global and to act global. Overseas mission. It might be something that you know the Lord's laid on your heart over years, maybe. And if that is you, then all I want to say is don't ignore that. Go. We would love, as a church, I'm pretty sure, to send someone from our church family to go, to go and reach the unreached. What a joy that would be to send them out. So if that's you, think about it. Pray about it. Talk to others about it. And if you're not sure, why not go on all these mission agencies? They have wonderful short-term mission trips. Maybe it's as a family or on your own. You might think about going for a week over your summer to just try it out, see what it's like. Now, for others, it will mean to think global, but to act local. The nations have come to London, haven't they? We know Adam Boyce, he's been here a few times from London City Mission. They tell us that one in three Londoners are unreached, that they've never heard the gospel, that they don't have a Christian friend. And that is 3 billion people. So let's go. Million people. Let's go. And if you want help with this, Adam and I are going on a door-knocking training day. 25th of July. Come along with us if you can. But it might be tempting to be totally paralyzed by those figures, especially when they're correct. Paralyzed by 3.4 billion, or one in three Londoners. Johnny, the school run, hybrid working, petrol prices, hospital waiting lists. That's enough to stress me out, let alone this. And I'm involved in those things. I get that. I really do. But before we give up, let's at least think about what that one step might be for us. Let's remember, too, that we are God's instruments. Paul is God's instrument. God graciously uses us in God's own work. It's not ours. And by his Spirit, we're given the strength to go and do it. We're never going to do it in our own strength, but we do with the Spirit's. So let's consider what that one or two steps might be for us. Away from seashells and towards, I guess, question mark for us individually. So that's Paul's first priority. And much more briefly, let's have a look at his second priority. And that is to be partnering in love with other believers. Partnering in love with believers. Because you probably sensed in the passage, Paul cares a lot about partnership, about fellowship, about unity between believers. And it's a partnership that comes out of love. Paul talks a lot about how he's desperately longing and desiring to see the church in Rome. He wants to be with them. He loves them. He wants to enjoy time with them and refreshment spiritually with them. That is a priority for Paul, just hanging out with believers. And it is a love that also drives him forwards. It drives him on. He wants to partner with them as a church. Verse 24, I plan to do so, that's to visit them, when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. See, Paul wants the church in Rome to partner with him in his mission to Spain. So it's as if he's reaching the unreached in Spain, and he wants the church in Rome to be a sending church, to partner with them and to send him out. And he wants assistance. He wants them to assist him. And it's quite that term is quite broad, so it's definitely going to involve financial assistance. It's going to, verse 30, involve lots of prayer in that assistance. And it might also mean for some people to go with him to Spain. Victor was alluding to some of our partnerships that we have with other believers and organizations in their ministries, like the 20 Schemes guys who've come down here a little bit, a church planting network in the toughest communities in urban Scotland. It's great to be able to partner with them in some of those ways. But before we think it's just Paul being a little bit selfish here, it's just about going to Rome to get a bit of help to go on. Paul's partnership and his desire and passion for it isn't just a selfish one. His priority here affects so much more. You see, his entire travel plans are a piece of paper is just ripped up and thrown in the air by this priority of partnership. Verse 25. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not to Spain, in the service of the Lord's people there. So, do we get this? Paul is writing this letter in probably Corinth. That's in Greece. And his plan is to head west to Rome and west again to Spain, towards where we are. But his passion for partnership means he's going to take the 3,000-mile round trip on foot, going east to Jerusalem. He's going in totally the opposite direction because of this priority of partnership. And why? There's been a famine in Judea, in Jerusalem, and there's now great poverty amongst those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And the Gentile Christians in Macedonia and Achaia, they know this. They're in Greece. And verse 26, they are delighted. They are so happy. They're overjoyed and cheerful to give, to help out these brothers and sisters. But why is it significant? Why is this giving so important for Paul and for us to know? Well, verse 27, it's a moment of partnership between these two groups of believers. It showed that the Gentiles had been included, had been grafted in to the people of God. We heard loads about that, chapter 9 to 11. And now because they've been grafted into the people of God, they've received so much spiritually, and they want to show their appreciation of that by giving generously, materially, in partnership to struggling and impoverished believers in Jerusalem, those Jewish Christians. And the gift is so significant, it has sent Paul in totally the opposite direction. It's a practical partnership in the gospel, and it is a massive, massive priority for Paul. Partnership. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, and will this be one of our steps? Is it a priority for us? Is partnership our priority? On Wednesday night, I was at a different church's prayer meeting, and I heard about a Korean church. And they wanted to partner with Afghan refugees, believers in those refugee camps. They didn't know them, but it was on their heart, and they partnered with them. They prayed. They sent finances. And I met a lady from a family who had gone with those finances to Afghan refugee camps in Turkey and in Greece. They'd set up a church called Harry Church, which translates to Grace Church. They had gone with those things to these refugee camps and are preaching Christ there right now, even this morning. They're planting churches in those refugee camps, and they're encouraging believers there to keep going out to other Afghan refugees. And as I was sitting and listening to this lady, I found it quite emotional. Because earlier in the day, I'd been reading these verses. And in that moment, I realized this church in Korea are doing exactly what Paul is talking about here. It's a modern-day equivalent. And it spurred me on to think about my priorities and to think, what will a step away from the seashells look like for me? And what will it look like for us to take that one step away from the shells and towards partnership? I'd love to just to show you a letter that I received this week in the post. I received it from three gospel churches in further north in North London. And it was a letter asking me and asking maybe you as well if you would partner with them as they seek to proclaim Christ in revitalizing a church in an area of great deprivation. It's in the top 10% in the UK, and it's called, it's the other side of the A10, if that's helpful for geography, in Ponders End. There's no gospel church there at the moment, but there are 13,000 people who live in that parish, in that area of Ponders End. So if you'd, like me, like to partner with these guys as they proclaim Christ and try and plant a church, they've asked you, please do that prayerfully, to sign up for sort of a prayer letter. to do that financially, to think about our giving and if we could be involved in that. Or even it could mean to go. It's just one way, it's not the only way. All sorts of ways, but just one way that came across my desk this week that spurred me on to think about how we could practically, in real life, like that Korean church, take a step towards partnership. So Paul's priorities, it's helpful to keep right at top and center that they're in view of God's mercy. They're not to earn God's mercy. It's to reach the outsider, reach the unreached, and to partner with believers. So what is that step or two that I might make? What's that step or two that you might make that might change your priorities just this summer? And in a moment, we're going to be coming to the Lord's table. And what a blessing it is to do that, to come knowing that our priorities are in light of God's mercy, not to earn them. And as we see visually, a visual reminder of all the Lord has done for us in pouring out his grace to us in his death and resurrection of his Son. And also remembering that we are given the Spirit to give us the strength and the power that we need to take that step or two away from seashells and towards partnership and towards reaching the unreached. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for Paul's passionate priorities, reaching the unreached, oh, how many there are, and for partnering with believers, how many needy believers there are. Please help us, just one or two ways this summer, we might grow in doing that more. We ask this in your name. Amen.